Hello, welcome to Our PVC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPVCLife or through our website at pvclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Today's reading comes from Matthew chapter 10, very long passage, Matthew chapter 10, verse 16 to 42. I think I need to have you standing because it is a long reading. I'm going to read the word of the Lord. And when I read the word of the Lord, if you're going to fall asleep, I'd rather you keel over, hit someone, rather than nodding in your pew. So would you stand as I read from the word of the Lord today? Matthew chapter 10. I'm reading from verse 16 to 42. This follows the story that I preached the last time where Jesus sent out 12 disciples. And now we pick up the story after that. Look, I'm sending you out as sheep among the wolves. So be shrewd as snakes and harmless as doves. But beware, for you will be handed over to the courts and you'll be flogged with whips in the synagogues. You will stand trial before governors and kings because you're my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell the rulers and other unbelievers about me. When you are arrested, don't worry about how to respond or what to say. God will give you the right words at the right time. For it is not you who will be speaking. It will be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. A brother will betray his brother to death. A father will betray his own child. Children will rebel against their parents and cause them to be killed. And all nations will hate you because you are my followers. But everyone who endures to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one town, flee to the next. I tell you the truth, the Son of Man will return before you have reached all the towns of Israel. Verse 24. Students are not greater than their teacher, and slaves are not greater than their masters. Students are to be like their teacher, and slaves are to be like their master. And since I, the master of the household, have been called the prince of demons, and the members of my household, the members of my household will be called even worse names. But don't be afraid of those who threaten you, for the time is coming when everything that is covered will be revealed, and all that is in secret will be made known to all. When I tell you now in the darkness, shout it abroad when the daylight comes. What I whisper in your ear, shout it from the housetop for all to hear. Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God who can destroy both body and soul in hell. What is the price of 2 sparrows? 1 copper coin? But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. And the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. Verse 32, everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Don't imagine that I came to bring peace to the earth. I came not to bring peace, but a sword. I've come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Your enemies will be right in your own household. If you love your father or mother more than you love me, if you love your father or your mother more than you love me, you're not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or your daughter more than me, you're not worthy of being mine. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give it up, your life for me, you will find it. Verse 40, anyone who receives you receives me. Anyone who receives me receives the Father who sent me. If you receive a prophet as one who speaks for God, you'll be given the same reward as a prophet. If you receive righteous people because of their righteousness, you'll be given a reward like theirs. And the last verse, 42, if you give even a cup of cold water to one of the least of my followers, you will surely be rewarded. Lord, bless your word. The reading of the word and the hearing of the word matters. So, Father, let your word penetrate into our souls today. We stand on the solid rock. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. My message today is step up. Step up. We've been warned. Matthew tells us in verse 17, but beware. And he says this, it will be an opportunity to tell the rulers and other believers about me. We know persecution will come, and we can see already the setup for it. My question is, why are North American Christians so frightened by persecution? Why are North American Christians so frightened by persecution? Do you know that it's only North American Christians that are frightened by persecution? Do you realize that we are the most prosperous nations, but we are the ones that are most frightened by persecution? And this is the type of topic that Christians fear. It's like, oh, Pastor, I came out in the snowstorm to hear a bless me message, and you're going to preach about persecution. I'm following Matthew and preaching the word just as Jesus wrote it. The most fear-filled people are those who call themselves Christians, God followers. And the many don't want to hear about the things that the Bible says we must be and do in the last days so that we will enter the kingdom of God. There is this false assurance that I'm going to go into heaven just because I went to church. No, we're going to go into heaven because we're followers of the Lord Jesus Christ and that we're obedient to the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. So many Christians today are living as if there is no devil and there's no evil. There's many Christians living as if there's no devil. It's like, oh, these things are just coincidences and fleeting momentary things. Satan is not really real and everything's good. And we are living in a false sense of security because if you watch what Hollywood's doing, they're using everything of darkness and making it light. When you begin to see every dark thing become light, recognize the enemy has upped his tactics, and we need to become stronger in knowing who our God is and walking and living out the word so that we will be strong regardless of what happens. Satan is real, folks. Isaiah 14, 12 to 14, here's where we see the write-up about Lucifer, the fall of Lucifer. It says this, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Lucifer, Satan, was an angel in similar rank to the archangel Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. And Lucifer wanted to rise above even the archangels to the status of the Most High. And God hurled him out of heaven, and then he became the one. And the Bible says that he determined to weaken the nations. The reason Matthew is giving us this scripture is to let us realize that we are among the weak nations. Do you know where the strong nations are? Where are the strong nations? The strong nations exist where there's persecution. Because they don't rely on people and materialism, they rely on the power of God to make it. They know the power and the might of God. And we're in a day where we're seeing such secularization, where we're seeing everything stripped to the core, and believers must rise up and know the power of their God. Our God, we sang it, but we must believe it. We can't just sing it on a Sunday. We must live it out Monday to Saturday. God is mighty. He's a mighty warrior. So God created us and he calls us to eternal life. And yes, Satan sabotaged his position, not ours. We choose if Satan sabotages our position. But Satan sabotaged his own position and became a fallen angel. And he lives working tirelessly to destroy people who believe in God. He does not want you to make it to heaven. He has one goal. Do not sit and become so complacent that you think, I can ease into heaven if I do nothing. There are people who spend more time destroying the kingdom of God, destroying the church, destroying the work of the church, destroying other people, not realizing that they are a tool of Satan. If you are a destroyer of the things of God, you are a tool of Satan. He got you. He subtly got you, and you still think, oh, I've got it. I'm here to fix the church and everybody in it. Fix your own self, because the enemy has you in his grip, and you are destroying your own value in the kingdom of God. Satan wars against God's children. It's real. Not only does he war against us, he wants us to not feel protected by God. When he rose up and he came against God to be like the Most High, the intention is, I will weaken the nations. But the people who know their God shall what? Shall be strong. Oh, glory to God. You're strong when you know who you are in God, because God calls us into light and he has established many ways for us to overcome the enemy. He's established many ways for us to overcome the devil. We don't have to go, the devil made me do this and the devil made me do that. Folks, I've said this before. Let me repeat it in this message. There are many of you that are blaming the devil for what he's angry at. He's saying, I did not do nothing. That is you all by yourself. There are times we're blaming the devil and he didn't even get around to us yet. Persecution, folks, is scary. But it's still a tool used towards salvation, to the salvation of many. And the message of Christ is so important. It's important in transforming lives, because many people are being lured in this day away from hearing the word. If you water down the gospel of the church, there will be nothing left for the church of tomorrow. And folks, we're seeing many people water it down. That's why I love preaching from the word. That's why I let the pastors know when they come in this pulpit, we don't just tell stories. We may use a story, but we preach the word. It is the word that will transform. It is the word that will heal, and the word that will deliver. And many people go to churches all across North America, but they don't allow their hearts to be transformed. They don't want to learn and live and love by the way that God has instituted it. They don't allow the word of God to transform their lives. But I'll tell you why persecuted churches are standing, because they live on the word. Many don't even have the full counsel of the Bible. They may have one chapter, they may have learned one verse, they may have learned one passage, but they live it, they hold on to it, they stand so strong in it that when the devil comes, they use the word to hold strong before all things. The word. A number of years ago, this is when I just started in ministry, I had the opportunity to go into the Congo, and I've been into the Congo many, many times. But I went into, if anyone from the Congo will know, I went into a province called Bandundu. The Bandundu province, the way to get to where we were going, we had to cross a crocodile river, and in these little boats. And so when I saw the boat, which we had already paid for the boat, when we got there and I saw the boat, I said two things. I don't swim, one. And I don't know anyone who swims faster than a crocodile. So I am not going on that boat. Oh, pastor, you have to go. The people are waiting over there. And I said to them, I will do anything. But I will not go where there's crocodile in a river. I don't do crocodile rivers. And so they're like, there's no other way to get into where we were going in the interior. This is up where the pygmies are. There's no other way to get in there except on the cargo planes that fly in. I said, I'll go on the cargo plane. They said, there's no seats on the cargo plane. I said, strap me to a box. I'll tell you right now, Cal Anthony, Cal and June Anthony, they'll tell you they went in with me. We were strapped to cargo, okay, but I would not go on a crocodile river. We were strapped to cargo. We got in there. And here's why this part is so important. When we got there into that remote area, very remote, I preached for days. I preached till I was dropping. I preached till there was nothing left in me to preach. They wouldn't even give me a minute not to preach. Even when we were waiting for the cargo plane to come back, they're lined up about it's not an airport, it's a tarmac. They're lined up on the tarmac, and they're making me preach till the plane comes. And I'm praying, Jesus, send the plane, send the plane, send the plane. And I'm preaching, and Jesus, send the plane, send the plane. Send the plane. I tell you what, though, folks, why they were so hungry. Because years ago, and a missionary named Jacques Villeneuve went into that place. And Jacques went in and left one French Bible. One French Bible started 2,000 churches. How did it start 2,000 churches? They ripped the Bible apart and gave pieces to everyone, and they had to circulate the piece they had and keep moving that Bible around. Years later, when people went in as missionaries, they found strong, vibrant churches. I preach in churches of 2,000 and 4,000 in a place where it started with one Bible being ripped apart. Folks, we have 22,000 Bibles. We have, each person probably has four Bibles at home. But I'll tell you, quote me a scripture. I can't quote scripture, Pastor. Don't call. Oh, glory to God. The Bible is God's word. It is essential for salvation and sanctification, which is living a godly life. Sanctification is living a godly life. And it also is powerful for glorification, which is to prepare us for heaven. That is why today we don't have the option to put the Bible away. Yes, we read it. We have access. We don't even need to have, many don't even have this anymore. I have many of these, but how many have a cell phone? You've got Bible app. You've got Bible gateway. You've got Bible everything. The word should be read every moment, because you are checking your Twitter and you're checking your email. Check your Bible on your phone then, and let the word begin to soar. In the previous verses of Matthew chapter 10, we saw how Jesus chose 12 simple people and loosened these disciples into the world to infiltrate it with the good news. They did it. And that's why we are here serving the Lord today, and we can do it also. It is time for us to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ into the lives of others. But if we are not convinced that Jesus is coming again, how will we press through and invite others into this glorious peace? Do you know there's great peace when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? Does anyone feel the peace of knowing the Lord? I can't live without it. I can't make, can you make it without his peace? Wouldn't you go mad? That's why the world is upside down, trying to find everything to appease themselves. That the joy, we sing the joy, the joy, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Because the joy isn't their strength, every day they have to legalize something else. They legalize the prostitution. They legalize the marijuana. They legalize this. Every day, what are they doing? Taking all the things of lawlessness, all the things of destruction. And when they don't know what else to do, okay, fine, we'll legalize it, have it, and kill yourself. Isn't that what they're doing? And we, the church, are sitting back. Now they want to legalize euthanasia in every stream, down to babies. And we sit back like, oh, they're legalizing the killing of babies that are born. We fight against the ones that are not unborn, but we forgot about the ones that are born. Oh, let me drop that again. Some of you got quiet. There's a fight about the unborn baby, which we stand for. But don't allow the enemy to misguide you in the sense that people will kill and destroy others for the unborn baby, which many should opt to go back to the sexual laws of the Bible, which is a man and a woman in marriage. But we don't want to preach the word that says promiscuity is wrong, adultery is wrong, fornication is wrong. We don't want to hear what is wrong, so we allow the wrong and then we fight that this wrong has created a wrong. But when the child is born, we sit back and we say, it's okay if the government feels that they should legalize it, who am I? We need to pray some of them in the name of Jesus. Move them out of their seats. God, put them on the beds of affliction to lie down. Let them be the one that somebody's making a decision and see how quickly they'll change their minds. In the name of Jesus, the church has to recognize these are tools of the enemy. The devil is vile and wicked, and the church needs to know when we speak up like this, yes, we'll be persecuted. Do you think that persecution will come for this big mouth one day? It will surely come because I stand on the word of God, but I'm going to have to be ready for it. I don't look good in prison clothes, by the way. But I will ask for a good pillow. So if you have to come visit, bring me an orthopedic pillow. That's all I ask. Folks, we have to be ready. We can't be afraid of everything. We've got to realize the devil is real. So here's the warning that God has given us. He's giving us these warnings, and with every warning, he gives us a comfort. The warning is this: don't be caught off guard. If the enemy attacks, understand he will, and prepare to stand against him. Why? Because you are a child of God. Don't be caught off guard. Who are you? Then we sang it today. I am a child of God. Secondly, remember that God will help you through persecution. It is still just a momentary trial which God helped others through and other nations are suffering through, but he will be there with you. So persevere with wisdom, with wisdom. And persecution for North America, it is a light and momentary. Oh, my friends are persecuting me. Oh, the church is persecuting me. Oh, my sister's persecuting me. Do you know that we use persecution that it has no real definition here? I feel so persecuted. And I do it too. I talk about, I feel persecuted. I am persecuted. But it's light and momentary. People who are going through real persecution have to stand there at the cost of their lives. Does anyone know people in countries that are, in countries, come on, let me see your hands. If you know, yep, in countries where they're fully being persecuted, fully, for the sake of the same gospel that we won't even show up in a snowstorm for. Beware, number three, beware of the unexpected. Folks, I share this with you from January, and I know it's coming. There are going to be unexpected things that are going to rock our world. There's going to be suddenlies that's going to shake the world. Beware of it. That's why we've been warned. Beware of it. But remember this, the word of God has already warned us to be prepared. You're warned to be prepared. How are we going to be prepared? We're going to know our God, and we're going to stand strong. No matter which way it comes, we're going to stand strong. Number four, don't worry about what you will do. That's what Matthew 10 says. When persecution comes your way, as long as you're continuing to serve God faithfully, as long as you're serving God faithfully, what? Know that God, he will never leave you nor forsake you. Have you ever stood somewhere where you felt all hell against you, and then God just put a word or a position, or anybody ever been there? It just felt there was no way out, and then you just saw God made a way. That's why we sang, he made a way. When my back was against the wall, and it looked like it was over, God made a way. Folks, remember these things as we press on, because we are going to have to navigate in persecution. When we're navigating in persecution, Bible says in Matthew 10:40, anyone who receives me Anyone who receives you receives me. Anyone who receives me receives the Father who sent me. When we feel in the midst of persecution and there's a greater persecution to come, remember, we're not going to give up on our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to press deeper because whatever we're going through, Jesus has already gone through it. And that today we can have faith in what God is going to do. He says in Matthew 10:16, look, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves, so be shrewd as snakes and harmless as doves. Let me break this down. Be wise and harmless. Be wise and harmless. In this day, as we move out, oh, we cannot say, the Bible says that marriage is for male and female. If I declare that from the pulpit, the world is calling me names and telling me I am wrong. I should go with what a human mind determined is now the definition. And now when I stand and say, I'm standing in what I know to be the timeless word of God, that makes me apt for persecution. But be wise and harmless. This is a statement Jesus shared right after declaring that we'll encounter situations and we're going to feel timid like sheep amongst the big, bad, ravenous wolves. I'm not telling you to walk into your workplace and begin to strip everyone down. We need to love everyone regardless of what direction they've taken. We love the person, but don't ever cave to the sin. You may have family members that are on drugs and they're living in your house or whatever. You don't hate them, but you hate the sin that they're in. And it's the same way we must continue. We love people. We love people, and we realize the devil is real and he has deceived the minds of many. So we work with the deception by saying, I will not cater to the deception, but I will love you like you ain't never felt love before. There are families in here, you're struggling with what the universities are teaching all of our young people now. Half of them go in knowing who they are, come out, are in the middle of their journey in school. They no longer know who they are. And that's a real struggle today. And the government is allowing it by fostering all they can to teach. I'm not going to go off on this, but there is a teaching, an indoctrination, and a shutting down of the morals of the church. But I want you to know today, we shall be persecuted for that which we believe, but we must hold on to what is true, and we must be wise as serpent and harmless as dove. So how does God give us this navigation? He says this. When you're going to be shrewd as a serpent, it means get ready to maneuver in these trials quietly. Jump through the traps cautiously. Manage the situation with divine strategy and use the simple, powerful, intelligent mind that you have to pray, bless God, and hear what God is saying. You're going to need the word of God. That's why he says, when you get there, he says, I'll tell you what to say. We're going to be trapped. We're going to be trapped. Can I share that? We're going to be set up. There are going to be times the enemy is raging mad because Jesus is coming. And he's going to try to set us up. And in those moments, you need to shut your mouth and open your spiritual eyes. God, tell me what to say right now. I'm in a trap. That's why I need to be filled with the Spirit. The tricks of the enemy are ramping up because his time is short and the church is sleeping. But I want you to know, Pickering Pentecostal Church and our worldwide church, we're not going to sleep. We got to be wise as snakes. When we're wise as snakes, we're quick to discern danger, and then we easily escape from it. We have a vision and initiative that shows us what the kingdom of God is about and why the attack is there. When we're wise like serpent, we cannot be easily caught off guard. You know why? Serpents are masters of change. That's why Jesus used them as an example. The serpent is that vile animal that Satan camouflages as, but Jesus uses it to say the serpent is an attacker who comes one way, and if you see it, what will it do? It dodges and goes another way. How many know what I'm talking about? A serpent is shrewd. It will camouflage itself and be hidden. And when it sees danger coming, it escapes quickly. It slithers. It jumps. It will go up. It will go down. It will go under. It will do anything. But I want you to know, the Bible tells us, those who know their God, God's going to make you that wise. That when the enemy is coming one way, he will not find you that way. You will see it before it comes. You'll hear a voice saying, move out of that way. That's why we're going to have to start moving in the power of the Spirit. That Holy Ghost will say, back up, back up, back up. Shut up, shut up, shut up. In Jesus' name. We have been blessed by God, the Holy Spirit, who guides us. He prepares us, he warns us, he helps us. And when we have the arms of God, we can shelter under. He will then be our protection. We have the gifts of the Holy Spirit to use. Folks, that's why we're going to have to get deeper, deeper, deeper in the Lord. Because these are days when we can't make it alone. We've got to make it with our hands in his unchanging hand. That's the time we're in. Can I hear an amen this morning? That's be wise. Then he says, be harmless as dove. Doves are very mild and meek, beautiful to behold, graceful in its approach. Doves symbolize peace. Doves are used as symbols of the Holy Spirit, which brings peace and reassurance. See, a dove is not a creature of ill will or hurt. It's innocent, it's harmless, always gliding, always peaceful. It's a gentle reminder of harmony, a gentle reminder of the proper flow of life. And so the Bible tells us that we should be as harmless as a dove. And this passage is reminding us that we need to know that while the enemy will come as a serpent, and God will give us wisdom how to outmaneuver the serpent, we ourselves in our Christian walk, we must be gentle as a dove. Do you know that there are some Christians that are harsh? Talk to me. In fact, sometimes you meet people in the world and you're like, oh, I wish all Christians could be like you. You're so sweet. And then you meet a Christian and you're like, your tongue is so sharp. Wow. You know they used to have that van that came around with the and you sharpen your knives? There are some Christians, you could just use them. Just, help me, Jesus. It's truth. Come on, tell me, Lucy. Preach it. Yeah. Folks, he tells us we should be as gentle as a dove, as harmless as a dove. And if we are as harmless as a dove, people are going to be drawn to the kingdom of God. Hello? Talk to me. I'm coming down, but I need you to know this is a big fact. See, if we end up in trouble, he says there's going to be many troubles that's going to come even in your own home. Did you hear it? When you read through Matthew 10, mother, father, brother, sister, sister-in-law, mother-in-law, husband, wife. It's going to, children to their parents, there's going to be rebellion. He says he's going to end up in trouble of many kinds. There's going to be people in the synagogue, he says. That's the church. There's going to be people in government. That's the non-fearing, non-God-fearing people. There's going to be people in city laws. There's going to be so many. He says, but get ready to be wise and to be harmless. Know how to handle yourself while keeping your faith intact. Secure your faith in the word of God. That's why the message today is step up. Step up. I'm stepping on. It says pressing on, but I'm saying step up. Folks, are you hearing my heart today? We can't live in fear of the danger that's around us because the danger is going to increase. But God will vindicate those who are walking and working in the kingdom of God, in the word of God, in the light of God. Step up. My message to you today is, are you going to step up? Because if you're going to not step up, then you're going to fail at every level. At every level. Bible says that we ought to praise God at all times. May I remind you, praise God even in the persecution. John 15, verse 18 to 20. If the world hates you, remember it hated me first. The world would love you as one of its own if you belonged to it. But you are no longer a part of the world. I choose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. Do you remember what I told you? A slave is not greater than its master. Since they persecuted me, naturally they will persecute you. And if they had listened to me, they would listen to you, but they didn't listen to me. That's Jesus saying. Jesus says, if they didn't listen to me and they killed me, who do you think you are? They're going to hate you because you love me. God blesses us in persecution. Here's the blessings of persecution. Matthew 5:11, God blesses you when people mock you, persecute you, lie about you, say all sorts of evil things against you because you're my followers. I love this one. Keep that one there. Somebody talk to yourself. God, bless me according to your word. Anybody been persecuted? Anybody going through any persecution? Let me see. Come on. Anyone? Yeah? Anyone? Come on. It's not the same as the ones overseas, but you're going through some. You going through any? Okay, read this. Let's read this together. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my follower. Now, let's read this again, and you're going to put me in there. God blesses me when people mock me and persecute me and lie about me and say all sorts of evil things against me because I am a follower of Christ. Oh, glory to God. That's the gift that God has given us, folks. That's the gift that God has given us. So here, persecution is allowed by God because even such evil things will make many prosper and many come to Christ in salvation, come to salvation in Christ. So folks, let me run through a couple of things as I quickly do this. Positive purposes of persecution. Let me put these on the screen. When believers are persecuted, those who know the Lord in truth, who love the Lord and love his word, they become a greater testimony. When believers overcome persecution, the message of salvation is clearly seen in the face of persecution. There's nothing that makes people know you are mighty in God than if you rise up with that gentle spirit in the midst of persecution. Number three, in the midst of persecution, believers see the greatness of the Holy Spirit at work in their lives. Oh, there's no way to see the greatness of God and the power of the Holy Spirit that when you're in the midst of persecution and they see God did that. Oh, look how God took them through that. How many been taken through some things and you didn't know how you made it out? But for the grace of God, you're through it. Hallelujah. And courage and conviction increases when we recognize how valuable the living our life for Christ is. The enemy wanted to destroy us, but courage and conviction increase. And the next one is this. God's miracles are readily accepted. When you are going through a persecuted time and people, even workplace and family, see how you come through, they're like, oh, I need to know how you got there. That God is really with you. God's miracles are readily accepted when people see how we make it. That's why when we talk about third world persecution and they tell us their stories, our faith grows because we're like, only God could do that. Next one, victories and blessings in lives are appreciated. There are times we don't appreciate the victory and the blessings that God has given us, but in the midst of persecution, we begin to see how God is so there with us, and we begin to do our victory dance. I made it by the grace of God. I made it. And lastly, believers become more committed to Christ in persecution than in ease. The reason the North American church is so weak is that we're living in ease. The reason the churches in the third world countries are so strong is they're living in persecution. Folks, don't desire persecution so that we can grow. Why don't we just grow so that God uses us to bless the world? Amen. So overcoming persecution, I'll give you these quickly because I have it here. Jesus' encouragement in Matthew 9, do not ignore persecution. Do not fear persecutors. Do not fear destructive forces. Don't fear only about the body, fear the soul. And here's what he says, don't let persecution change your loyalty to God. Don't let persecution change your loyalty to God. Don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than the flock of sparrows. Hey, that's who I am. I'm more valuable to God than the flock of sparrows. So, folks, I'm going to encourage you, step up. We've been warned. We're going to get ready to endure like good soldiers, and we will be rewarded. We're going to shine our light. We're going to keep our souls and our spirit protected from the enemy. Because God is all knowing, God is all power, and God is all love. Folks, stay with me this morning. Online, keep your soul and your spirit protected from the enemy. When we sing, "I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back," we're in days where people are going to easily turn back because the slightest persecution will make them fall apart. Is that you? Is that where you're at? Or are you prepared to live out the victory of the Word, to live in the power of the Word, to live out the joy of the Word, even when there's some pain in the offering? Are you prepared? Because Jesus never said this is going to be a rose garden. And I always say it to you, roses have thorns. So if you're planted in the middle of a rose garden, expect to get some pricks on you. But what he does promise is, "I'm going to help you to overcome. I've made you to overcome. I will strengthen you to overcome. I will guard you and uplift you to overcome." So folks, this message is not just for today. This is especially for the days to come. Because we're going to have to be stronger and stronger than ever before. I'll tell you what kind of church this is. This is a Holy Ghost church. What kind of church this is? This is a Bible-believing church. What kind of church this is? This is a church that believes in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you as believers, you're a part of this kingdom work where we want others to know it's not by might nor by strength, but it's by His Holy Spirit. It's not because of who I am, it's because of who He is and because I believe in Him. It's not because I'm so super wonderful, it's because He is all wonderful. It's not because I'm great, it's because He's great. People need to know you're going to make it no matter what. And light little foolish things will not destroy your faith and your journey, because you're about serving the Lord for the world to see He's real. And they will know the devil is real, but the God who is real is the lover and the keeper of their souls. Amen? Folks, where do I go this morning? I want to talk to two people. If you've not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can't handle anything when it comes because you're on your own. But when you are in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not on your own. You are His, and He's with you. You are strengthened. You're helped. He whispers. Holy Spirit speaks. So you don't have to fight the battles alone. So if you've not yet accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, online, in-house, this is the day to do it. I'm going to, in a moment, give you an opportunity to do that. But I want to speak to the believers. Believers, persecution will come. If you can't handle the persecution of the little things around you, you won't be able to handle the one the devil is really throwing. So stop allowing it to destroy your spirit and start saying to it, "I'm going to ask God for wisdom to overcome you. And I'm going to ask God to make me gentle like a dove so you will see the joy of the Lord still in my life." The peace. Dove is peacefulness. So you will see my peace. You know what hurts people? Is when they're trying to kill you and you're still at peace. Bow your heads with me. Holy Spirit. Glorious God. This may sound harsh, but God, it is actually not harsh. It's healing. God, I pray that we would open up our minds to conceive that the devil is real. The Satan has masterminded a way to deceive many, and we will not be one of those. So God, today I pray for an openness from your people, repentance of heart for those who have allowed subtle things to overwhelm them and to control them. I pray, oh God, for those who have not yet embraced you in relationship, that they'll recognize that when you said, oh God, to be wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove, we can't do either of that without you. Wisdom comes from the Holy Spirit, and gentleness is a gift of the Spirit. So, Father, I pray today they would acknowledge, I need you, Lord. Nothing will keep me from you. And I pray, oh God, every believer today will be strengthened by the word and prepared for their future as they prepare the generations below us. In the name of Jesus, every head bowed. I want to ask this morning, is there any who would say, Pastor, I need to accept the Lord as my Savior today. I need to walk in the power of the Spirit, and I can't do it alone. I need Jesus' help. So today I'm going to accept him as Lord and Savior. Wherever you're seated, would you just raise a hand, and I'm going to look out for you. If you're seated anywhere you're seated, just raise a hand. I want to pray with you. Those online, you can just go into the chat line. Someone will pray with you in that chat line this morning, because we want you to embrace the relationship of the Lord Jesus Christ above and beyond all else. We want you to step into relationship. That's what will give you your fight. We'll give you your strength. It'll give you your might. It'll give you your joy. So if there's anyone online or in-house, is there any this morning? You say, today, I'm going to accept the Lord as my Savior. I'm looking out for you. Father, I pray, oh God, wheresoever or whomsoever it is, that God, they would recognize today that you love them. You love them with an everlasting love. God, this message in Matthew comes to remind us there will be difficult days. But no matter how difficult the day, you've already forecasted it. You warned us it will come. You reminded us they hated you, so they will hate us. But God, you told us we shall overcome it all because of the blood of the Lamb. So I pray, oh God, a strength upon your people. I pray, oh God, those who need to repent, oh God, would have a repentant heart, recognizing, oh God, that we have failed many and we failed you at times, but you've never failed us. So we submit ourselves to you, O God, and ask for your divine healing and protection, and that you, O God, will give us the mind of the Spirit, the wisdom, O God, to know what to do, and O God, the peace of mind to do it in the name of Jesus. So I thank you, O God, and I bless you for who you are. God, teach us to love the most of the person we don't even understand. Teach us to love with an everlasting love. Teach us to love those, oh God, who are struggling with their orientation. Teach us to love those, oh God, who no longer know who they are. Teach us to love those, oh God, who are struggling with walking hand in hand with you. Give us a divine love that overwhelms and overcomes it all. So we bless your holy name today, and we give you all praise and all glory. And everyone said, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you accepted Christ for the first time today, we want to help you with next steps. Please email us at prayer@ppclife.ca, and a pastor or volunteer will be in touch with you. We pray that you have a wonderful and safe day or night, and we'll see you soon, church family.